right, so you guys sent us this article, huh? From the Church of Tinkerbell blog. And wow, it's pretty intense stuff.
Yeah.
It's about the Trump administration and banning certain words, like actually banning them from official CDC communications.
Right.
It's definitely gotten people talking, and we're here to kind of break it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically they've banned words like transgender, LGBT, even pregnant person from these documents.
Yeah, it's definitely a concerning situation, you know. When you start restricting language like that, especially in the context of public health, it raises a lot of red flags.
Yeah, for sure. So like right off the bat, I'm thinking about the impact on data collection and public health initiatives.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't even use certain words, how do you even study those communities and their specific needs?
That's exactly the problem. By removing these terms, certain populations basically become invisible in the data.
Invisible, huh? So like if a researcher can't even use the word transgender, how can they possibly study, you know, the health needs of that community? It's like trying to put together a puzzle, but some of the pieces are just gone.
Exactly. And think about something like HIV rates in the transgender community. If we can't accurately track and analyze that data because we're not even allowed to use the word transgender, how can we develop effective interventions or allocate resources where they're most needed?
Right. And wouldn't that lead to worse health outcomes for those populations? I mean, if you can't even identify a problem, how can you fix it?
It's a very real concern. The erasure of language can lead to the erasure of needs. And that's a really dangerous path to go down, especially when we're talking about public health.
It's scary stuff, for sure. This situation also brings up this bigger question about scientific censorship, right? The article makes a strong argument about that.
Absolutely. Science relies on precision and transparency. Yeah. When language is manipulated for political purposes, like in this case, it really undermines the credibility of the research and can ultimately have a huge impact on policy decisions.
So it's not just about the words themselves, it's about the implications.
Right. It's like, imagine you're trying to write a company report, but you're told you can't mention certain departments or products. The picture you're presenting is going to be incomplete and potentially misleading.
That's a great analogy. You wouldn't get the full picture, and any decisions based on that report would probably be flawed.
Exactly. And that's the danger we're facing here. This situation with the CDC sets a dangerous precedent for censorship in other areas of science and policy. Today, it's transgender, but tomorrow, it could be any term that someone deems inconvenient or politically sensitive. Where do we draw the line?
It's a slippery slope, for sure.
Yeah.
So what's being done about this? The article talks about some pushback from the scientific community, right?
Yeah, there's been a really strong reaction from the scientific community. Mm. Journals and professional organizations are speaking out against the ban. There are also legal challenges being explored, and some scientists are even creating alternative platforms to publish their work.
That's good to hear. It seems like people aren't willing to just let these terms and the communities they represent disappear. The article also mentions individuals taking action. Things like contacting representatives, attending protests, and supporting independent research.
Yeah, that kind of grassroots action is crucial. Public outcry and institutional support are absolutely essential for safeguarding scientific integrity and pushing back against censorship.
It feels like one of those situations where everyone needs to play a part, big or small. What I thought was really interesting was how the article touched on something I hadn't really thought about before, the power of language itself. It argues that the words we use shape our understanding of the world.
It's true. Language isn't just about communication. It's also about how we frame and interpret reality. When you restrict language, you're essentially constricting thought.
So in the context of public health, not being able to use accurate and inclusive language could actually warp our understanding of the issues and the people who are affected by them. It's not just about semantics. It's about having the right tools to even think about these problems correctly.
Precisely. If we don't have the language to accurately describe and discuss these issues, it becomes much harder to address them effectively. And that brings us to a pretty profound question that the article poses. What other areas of life could be impacted by restrictions on language?
That's where it gets really interesting. I think we're going to dive deeper into that in the next segment. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to circle back to some of the key takeaways from this discussion about the word ban itself.
Okay, so it's pretty clear that the Trump administration's decision to ban these words has sparked a lot of concern, and for good reason. It raises some really serious questions about scientific censorship data erasure and the potential for all of this to impact public health outcomes.
Yeah, no doubt. And while the situation is definitely alarming, it's also inspiring to see the level of resistance and the creative ways that people are working to fight back. We've got a lot more to cover in the next segment, so hang tight while we explore some of the broader implications of all this.
So yeah, picking up on that question from the last segment, like, what other areas of life could be impacted by restrictions on language? It's pretty mind-blowing when you really think about it. The article really makes you step back and look at how language shapes our understanding of everything, you know, from social justice to the economy to the environment.
It's true. It's like, if you can control the vocabulary, then you can control the whole conversation. And if you control the conversation, you can control the outcome.
Right, exactly. By limiting the words that we can even use, you're basically narrowing the range of ideas that can even be expressed and debated. It's a slippery slope for sure, and it can lead to a less informed and less democratic society.
It's kind of scary when you put it like that. So what can we even do about this? It feels so huge.
Well, the article does a really good job of outlining some practical steps that individuals can take. It starts with awareness, you know, understanding the issue and what it all means. Then there are things like contacting your representatives, supporting independent research and journalism, and even attending protests or advocacy events.
So it's kind of a multi-pronged approach, hitting it from all angles.
Yeah, exactly. The article also suggests that universities and research institutions have a responsibility to push back against this type of censorship.
That makes sense. They're supposed to be these places where free inquiry and open debate are encouraged and protected.
Right. Exactly. They need to step up and defend academic freedom and scientific integrity.
For sure. What's really fascinating to me is how this all started with something as specific as a list of banned words in these public health documents. But it's really opened up this much larger discussion about the power of language and the importance of protecting free speech and intellectual freedom.
And that's the real takeaway here. This isn't just about a few words being banned on a list. It's about a much bigger trend towards controlling the narrative and shutting down dissent. We all need to be paying attention and resisting any attempts to restrict our ability to think critically and have these open and honest discussions.
It feels like we're at this point where we have to choose what kind of society we want to live in. Do we want one where language is used to control and manipulate? Or do we want one where it's used to empower and educate?
I couldn't agree more. That's why it's so important for everyone to get involved, to speak out against censorship, and to support the people who are fighting for a more open and just world.
So after this deep dive into this article, what would you say is the most important message for our listeners?
The biggest thing to remember is that language is powerful. It can be used for good or for bad. We need to be aware of how language is being used to shape how we see the world and to influence our decisions. We need to be willing to challenge anyone who's trying to limit our freedom of expression.
That's a powerful message for sure. It's so much bigger than just this issue with the Trump administration. It applies to politics, to social justice, to how we even talk to each other every day.
You're right. We need to be careful about the words we use, the stories we tell, and how language can be used to both include and exclude people, to empower some and to oppress others.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground here today. Any last thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
I would just encourage everyone to keep learning about this topic, to seek out different points of view, to question their own assumptions, and to have those constructive conversations about the power and importance of language in shaping our world.
It's easy to feel like, what can I do? But like you were saying, there's a lot we can do, right? Even if it's just our own small part.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't have to be these big dramatic actions or like trying to change laws by yourself. Sometimes the most powerful stuff starts with just talking to people, you know, questioning the words we use and the assumptions we make without even realizing it.
It really is all about awareness, huh? It's like once you see it, you can't unsee it, how language can be used, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It becomes like you see the world through this whole new lens. And it helps you see things more clearly and be more critical about what you're hearing.
One thing I thought was cool in the article was how it talks about, you know, the scientists and the people fighting for truth. They're not giving up. It's inspiring.
Yeah, there's definitely this sense of hope. Even when people try to censor information, knowledge finds a way to get out there, whether it's through different ways of publishing or online archives or just people flat out refusing to be silenced.
Yeah, it's like they say sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Yeah.
The more we talk about these issues, the harder it is to hide the truth.
Exactly. And the more we can have those open and honest conversations, the better we'll be able to understand and deal with all the complicated stuff in the world.
Well, hey, thanks to our listener out there for sending this article in. This has been a really thought-provoking conversation.
I hope so. We hope this deep dive has given everyone a new way of thinking about how powerful language is and why it's so important to protect the people who are trying to use it honestly and in a way that includes everyone.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, remember, you have a voice,
yep.
And you can make a difference. If you want to do something, Check out the links in the show notes. We've got some organizations there that are working on this.
Yeah, keep asking those questions, keep learning, and keep those deep dives coming.
We'll see you next time.